Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us today at Leadership Lean In. We're together as a community. We lean in to the subject of leadership. Our whole goal is trying to get just a little bit better. In fact, we always say this, I cannot promise perfection. I can't deliver that. But as always, promised and delivered progress. We're trying to grow. We're trying to get better. So thank you for joining us on today's podcast. Do me a favor right there. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. Share your thoughts. Let us know where are you leaning in from. We're not leaning back and doing the rock away. Hello. We're leaning in to wisdom. We're leaning into doctrine. We're leaning into understanding, insight, revelation, knowledge. Hello. We're leaning in just to try and get a little bit better as leaders. We feel like God has called us to be great leaders. And as always, the greatest leaders are the greatest followers. So we're trying to become a greater follower, which in turn will allow us to be great leaders. And so thank you to everybody that likes and subscribes, whatever platform you're listening on. Also, do me a favor, on the link on my IG, which is an abbreviation for Instagram. Sign up for our leadership email. We send out a weekly leadership email, and we'd love to have you join us there. Some of the notes from the pod, and just notes in general. Today, we're mixing it up. Usually, I do like a little bit in the beginning. Have you guys ever walked on the moon? We're mixing it in today because we are jumping into some questions and some responses. We don't have the answers, but we have some responses.
I like that.
To some of
I
your like questions. Yeah. So we are going to, hold on, let me officially start this pod. We are off to the races, and Tweedledee and Tweedle April are here to encourage us.
I appreciate that you didn't say Tweedledum.
Yeah. That would be just like a weird thing to do. I don't like old weird guys that are like,
they're
look
weird.
What the cat drug in. It's like, oh, that's your attempt at honoring my presence.
I love it. Should we jump in?
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, April's on fire today already.
Wow. You get the first question.
Okay, I'll do the first question. I didn't know who was doing first. That's
okay,
why.
Let's
I was
go.
Prompting Nate to do it, but that's fine. I'll
questions
do it.
And responses. Here we go.
Okay.
We love the team at Overflow, and they've been innovating the game of giving, the experience of fundraising and donations at such a fast and incredibly high pace. If you want to empower your people to give just like that, head on over to overflow.co/LLI to book a demo and get connected with our team right away.
I'll questions and responses. Here we go.
Okay. When is it appropriate to speak up in a leadership position when things are going the wrong direction? I don't know exactly the context.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the exact context either, but I will say it's always, you know, our value is if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
And we can't get better unless someone leads up. I think that's the thing about being secure and confident in your leadership is understanding that I haven't been allowed just to lead those that are under me or those that are alongside of me. That I think a great leader also knows how to lead up or report up. Mm. Hey, just because I care about you and I care about the organization, I got to say something about so-and-so. I got to say something about the situation. So when is it appropriate? It's always appropriate.
Great.
It's always appropriate if you can't handle it. Mm. I've tried to handle this. I've talked to them.
That's good.
They don't seem to be changing. This doesn't seem to be changing. Can I speak to you about this? I want to bring this and put it on your radar. Maybe you can help me in this scenario. I have found that if anybody does anything wrong in leadership, it's that they don't. Mm. You know the saying, the king has no clothes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we get the saying? It's because no one's willing to say, hey, something's wrong with you. Yep. Or even something's wrong in the atmosphere. So I always appreciate when someone's like, hey, I think you should get a coffee with so-and-so.
Yeah.
How come? They're the best. I don't think that they're the best. What do you mean? I think the great thing about leading for a long time is you realize also people show you their best.
Yeah.
So when I interact with people, they show me the best version of them, the healthiest, excited, passionate. So that's misleading sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And some of the sons like they got bad attitude, they're toxic, they're emotional, they do this, they say that, they're cancerous to the organization, they're a total liability. And I go, what? And you gotta sit down and find out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a great question.
Here's a follow-up question to that one. It kind of goes, this is from T. Bates. T. Bates. How do you handle conversations with someone who just isn't getting it?
Wow.
It kind of goes hand in hand with that last one, but.
Yeah, well, I think you got to have the convo. And then I always like to say, hey, we're going to revisit this. Let's see if there's progress. Let's meet in 2 weeks. Let's meet in a week and find out. And I think you're going to find out pretty quickly if they're understanding what you're saying. And if they can't hear, I think then we've got to make moves. We've got to take steps towards growth, health, the future. We got to protect the rest of the team, so on and so forth. So I think it's very important to not just have a conversation, but I always think it's, everybody hates that word. Here it comes. I want to ping you. I'm just circling back. Even though we hate this kind of language, I do think it's important that you follow up. Don't just have one conversation a week from now, 2 weeks from now. How are we doing? How's it going? And if we don't see progress, we're going to have to make some changes.
Yeah. I think that's really good to have measurable measurable success from those.
That's
moments.
Exactly right. I'm looking to see X, Y, and Z.
Yep. April?
Okay, I've got another one.
Ooh, here we go.
How do you navigate leadership when you don't see eye to eye with your leadership, with the leadership over you? You're not seeing eye to eye to them. Regarding personal convictions and gray areas.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I think, you know, remember, your alignment determines your assignment. So who you align yourself with will determine the trajectory of your life. So who am I aligning myself with? People that have the same vision and values. And if we don't have the same, there's three things I think are very important in leadership: vision, value, standards. If we don't have the same vision, we don't have the same values, and that last one is a big deal, standards, the standard of living. So in some places, like I was talking to my father recently, and he's telling me about this church leader that was running his church like a frat house, and they're just very loose on their morals, very loose in language, and ended up, you know, driving this church into a really difficult place. And so I always think I got to be around, especially those that oversee my life, people that I respect, their moral compass. I respect their character. I respect the way they treat people. We said it last podcast, but remember, culture is how we act, interact, and respond. So if you don't trust the way that they act, you don't trust the way they interact with others and the way they respond to positivity or negativity, then there's a sign there. I always think the goal of a great leader is to make everyone around them feel safe. When I walk in the room, people feel safe. There's a fatherly sense, there's a character, there's a holiness, there's a sense of moral conviction. I'm never questioning what you're doing away from this place. If that stuff starts to get gray, then I can't really follow. Because I can't subject my family or my life to people that I don't trust. So the question as a leader is, am I followable? And there's that conviction Paul has, right? Follow me. Man, that's a big statement.
Jeez.
That's a big statement. He's saying, I'm followable. Follow me as I follow Christ. He's not saying that. I mean, I'm going to get it right every time. Because all through the scriptures, he says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm a notorious sinner. I'm the least among the apostles. It's not self-deprecating humor. It's an awareness of humanity. All through Romans, we see this in Paul's writing. But he is, to the best of his ability, living above reproach. So I think what you're hitting on there is a big deal. And if you don't trust the leader that you're under, you got to find a new leader. That's the bottom line.
Great.
Yeah, here's another one. This is a really broad one, but I think, again, it kind of goes with this. It's from Everything I Wanted 78. What a name.
Hey, wow. Choose your own handle.
There's no profile picture, so yeah, who knows?
We'll see.
But it says, how do you make people respect you? And
wow.
I don't know if I like the question, but I think that people make an idol out of respect.
Yeah,
totally.
And so I would love to hear your perspective.
Yeah.
You know, how do you make... Is that even the goal?
Yeah. Well, my first knee-jerk reaction when I hear that question, how do you make people respect you? My answer is you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Exactly.
Well, number one, you don't. Because the moment you try, they will revolt. They'll turn against you. So let me ask you the question. Who do you respect? And then answer the question, why? I respect people that have a resolve, a resilience, a determination, a work ethic, a sense of servitude. So I respect people that have the ability to overcome difficult situations. They garner respect. So I was thinking, if you want people to respect you, the first question you must ask yourself is, number one, do you respect you? Because you can never ask others to do what you won't do. So if how could I ask someone to love me if I don't love myself? How could I ask you to respect me if I don't respect myself? All of it is, and that's where kind of we got to be with intention, have a good perspective on self-care. I take care of myself. Why? Because I can't love my neighbor unless I love myself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I can't take care of my team or, you know, my kids or my wife if I don't love me. So I respect myself a great deal. I respect myself enough not to compromise. I respect myself enough not to live with hidden secrets. I respect myself enough to do these kind of things so that it's trust to me is this unspoken thing where people go, I don't know why, I just feel like I can trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's because when nobody else is looking, you're making decisions that are trustworthy.
It's great.
Why do I respect you so much? Well, let's explain it. You have forgiven them. You've overcome great circumstance. You've gone through hell on earth, and yet you're still smiling. Of course people can respect you because you have, in the shadows, when no one else is looking, made decisions that garner respect. Garner trust. So I think it's never about who you are in public that gives you this kind of authority. It's your private life that creates this nuance, this fragrance, this aura. Oh, I'm going to use my favorite word when it comes to leadership. This moxie that allows people to go, wow, I respect that guy. I respect her. Why? It's nothing about the public life. You can sense it in the public, but it's who they are in the private.
Do you think like a trap of a young leader is they think that the position is entitled to respect. And so, you know, they kind of lead
yes.
going like, okay, I got the new position. I'm a youth pastor now, or I got a promotion. So now you have to respect yes. me. I think that's like, I think that's part of a trap. But then I think we see this like all the time I've definitely done this before with my children.
Yeah.
I go, fear is the same thing as respect. So
right.
if you fear me, then you respect me.
Yes.
But I don't know if those two things are they correlate together, if that makes sense. You know, if you're afraid of me, sure, you might respect my power or authority, but you don't respect me.
Yeah, me as a person.
Yeah, me as a person.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a tension there, right? Because what you're kind of flirting with there is authority, and I think we have to be very careful with our authority. We can't abuse our authority. Mm. And if you leverage that too much, then you're just a fearmonger.
Yeah.
And fear-based leadership, fear-based love never wins.
Yeah.
It just never does. It's who you are as a person, I think, that is the ultimate.
Sustains.
Yes, it's long-term gain. Exactly. Yep. Let's go to another one.
Well, just regarding that, in the words of Michael Scott, what's better to be feared or to be loved? Both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
I had that. I literally had that.
The fact that you pulled off that quote is sensational.
Very good.
Very good call.
Of course. Anyway, always here for a good office quote. over here at Leadership Lean In, we, of course, value time management, resource management. And sometimes you're just at a place in life, in your organization, in your leadership, where you got to delegate. You have to bring other people in to help you be the best leader that you can be and help your organization achieve the things that it needs to achieve. And so when you need help, when you need assistance, Belay is the answer. They are the ones that are there for you. Our friends at Belay have the flexible staffing solutions you need to delegate the details and free yourself up to lead. So whether it's administrative, accounting, social media, Belay's exceptional U.S.-based talent can take it right off your plate. So to help you get started, Belay is offering a free download of their ebook, Rise Up and Lead Well. Learn how you can spend more time focused on doing what only you can do and leverage the power of delegation. Just text LEANER, that's LEANER, to 55123 for your free copy. That's LEANER, LEANER, to 55123. Find the right hire right now with Belay. Back to the podcast. We've got another question, which is, what is a question you would ask when you're in the room with another great leader?
Wow. It depends who they are, of course. Like I gotta, you know, if I'm with, let's use real names. What I might ask John Maxwell probably might be different what I'd ask Ed Milet. You know, so it's or Patrick Lencioni. I think it's all about, you know, who you're talking to and what do you want to glean from this person. I heard someone say you need someone that touches your spirit, you need another leader that touches your strategy, and another leader that touches your system.
Really
what
good.
They're trying to identify is that, you know, what I get from this leader is different than what I get from this leader. And so I think so much of that question to me has to do, who is the leader I'm sitting with? And what can I kind of tangibly sense that you can add value to me? I like this idea that you can make me rich where I'm currently poor. Hmm. So I know that in my leadership, there's areas, deficiencies that I'm poor in. So from this leader, how are they going to help make me rich in this area? So I think so much of that question has to do with who I'm sitting with.
It's great.
Do you think it feels disingenuous when someone asks you a question that's like, you know, a generic?
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, totally. I hope you're going there, because man, have I sat in so many different Q&As where it's like somebody's asking me some questions. I'm like, clearly you don't see who I am, because yeah, that I don't have really a lot to say on that, or that's not really my grace, you know, my wheelhouse, so to speak. So I can give you an answer, but so-and-so is probably well-fitted to do that. And I could help you in other areas.
Is there like a, maybe not a pet peeve question, but like, you know, this one always comes to mind. What would you tell the 20-year-old version? You know,
I've had that one a lot. I think everyone's always asking the same question about balance. Mm-hmm. How do you balance work-life?
Yeah.
Work-life balance.
Yeah, how, you know, constant
work-life balance. And what does that tell you? People are still on a journey of trying to figure out how much should I work and how much should I live? Mm-hmm. And that will never go away. And that gets imbalanced per week, right?
Yeah.
It's a week to week thing. It's a seasonal thing. You know, we talk about seasonal depression. I think that there's seasonal balance. You got to find out in every season, how do I find this? And by the way, I said it this last week to our staff, all I need is 3 days to get my balance back.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I need 3 consecutive days to get my house back in order. 3 consecutive days to get my kids back behaving and doing their homework and eating their fruits and their vegetables and their salmon at night. I just need 3 days. And so I think, you know, if something's out of whack, out of balance, get it back. Let me encourage you. You can get your balance back.
It's great.
Let's go to the next one.
I like this next question. How can I renew their energy to start serving again?
Yeah, that was such, I saw that one. How can I renew their energy? My first thought was, I can't renew other people's energy. But I can first get fired up and energize myself. As I am encouraged, excited, got vision, got passion, that stuff leaks out. That stuff gets on to people. That stuff. So I would first say, start with you. Are you excited? Are you passionate? Because you, if you ever get around a passionate leader, they can't stop talking about what they're building, what they're doing, this project, this thing they're building, this thing that they're working on. They just, and all of a sudden, you ever notice you get excited about what they're excited about. So my answer would be, the way you get others excited about volunteering, serving the team, the church, whatever you're leading, whatever, you know, basketball team, football team, whatever you're doing, you get excited about it. People follow passion. People follow those that are excited. They don't follow the Eeyore, the lump on the log, the docile, which I guess I hope it goes good. I hope it's going to do well. I hope we're going to make it. I hope we're going to do good this season. That's a pretty good voice. I don't know who this is. I hope. How about when I did Harry Carey the other day?
Yeah, it actually surprised me.
I love Harry Carey.
You're actually talented at it.
Harry Carey, oh, this is a great one.
Yeah.
It's Will Ferrell, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, if the moon was a hot dog, would you eat it? I know I would, and I'd finish it off with a nice cold. I mean, you remember this one?
No.
Yeah. Because you were 4 when it came out.
Maybe.
Yes. But my point is, people follow passion.
Yeah.
So you want to get them excited, you get excited.
Really, yeah. Good. The whole thermostat.
That's
thermometer.
It. That's it.
Yeah.
And I also got to realize, wait, hold on. What I have found is that a lot of people can't move on from people that should be moved on from.
Wow.
And you can't ride a dead horse. And so I think a lot of people tap into dry wells and they're going like, man, this well used to work. It don't work no more.
Hmm.
You got to let that thing sail. I don't like to live like mafia or cutthroat or like either in or out homes. I don't like that vibe.
Not the homes.
Well, I had this guy that I worked at this church in East LA, and this guy was like, hey, Pastor Chad, you know, God was talking to me this morning and he was saying to me that God is like in and out. You're either in or you're out. And I was like, oh man, I don't, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Double, double.
I don't know what to do with that right now. I get good. What you're saying. I get, yes, there's a lot of scripture back that, but also he's like slow to anger and rich in love. You know, it's like, I get so what good. You're saying. He's also like, prodigals, come home. You know, so I'm like, I get it. But I think that I just, I don't want to be so cutthroat.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm saying is, a lot of times leaders keep going back to a dry well. It's like, hey, they've moved on. You got to move on.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, they're not.
Are you trying to convince people?
Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, who, this is self-respect to me. Who should get your time and attention? If you're not leaning into my world, why would I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's someone that needs the gospel. Why? If, you know, it's that whole humble, hungry thing.
Mm-hmm.
Honor.
Especially someone who's trying to lean out.
Yeah, it's like, let them go.
If you're neutral, then okay, hey.
I'm not against anybody.
Right.
But I'm really got to get my attention to the ones that are leaning in.
It's an energy thing.
It's an energy thing. Focus goes where energy flows. Okay.
Good. Okay, this will be our last one.
Let's go.
And I think this is a great one. How do you know when you are a leader and not a follower? Are we all called to be leaders?
Wow. First of all, yes, we're all called to be leaders to a degree, right? The average person will influence 86 people in their lifetime. So you have a measure of influence. So God's given that to you. You're going to influence people whether you like it or not. But our first calling is to follow. And so I get excited about that. I get excited about this idea because the pressure's off of me. The first mandate I have every day is to wake up and follow. It's not to wake up and lead. I'm going to wake up and take the hill. No, I'm going to follow my leader. My leader's really good. My leader is totally confident. My leader has my best in mind. My leader is so kind to me. My leader loves me when I don't love myself. I love following. And in my following, it gives me the ability to be undercover, under authority, to go like, hey, I was thinking about this thought last night. It's so funny to me that we make so much of messengers instead of the one that sent the messenger, the message giver, or the message itself. Like, at the end of the day, I'm a messenger. Like, why would we ever make much about a messenger?
Yeah.
You've been sent with a message on behalf of God. So we worship the message giver, not the messenger. Yep. So what is that saying? I'm a follower. I'm just doing what I've been told to do. So that brings great comfort. Now, with that, though, I will say, let's go to Jethro and Moses. Jethro, the father-in-law, comes and sees Moses leading to the best of his ability and goes, hey, what you're doing is not good. This is not going to work. It's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is not a sustainable model. What you need to do is you need to appoint capable people that are trustworthy. Some can lead 1,000, some 100, some 10. And, you know, and he breaks down this mathematical. And he's speaking about gifting and capacity here. We got to be honest. Some people are only, you know, through a sovereign grace, able to lead 100. That's not bad. That's sovereign. That's outside of my control. Some have the ability to lead 1,000 or 10,000. That's all up to God.
Yeah.
And so then he says, empower them to lead, empower them to oversee. So I always think it's important for us to tap into our full potential that maybe I could get up to 100 to oversee. Man, I want to do my best to get to the level that, you know, I could potentially get to. I like that phrase, God-given potential. On your life is a God-given That's potential. Right. You want to do everything you can to walk in that. I think that you fulfill that and you get to that level the more that you follow. So the more that you follow, the better leader you will become. So yes, we're all called to be leaders, but we are first called to be followers. Thank you so much for joining this week's episode from our pod to you, wherever you're watching. Maybe you're watching video. Maybe you're on a run right now. By the way, you know I consume a lot of pods on my run.
Mm-hmm.
I've got these new, someone gave us these Beats by Dre in-ears.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And they're really cool.
They're the ones that go.
But when I sweat and somehow I've been hitting the side button and it pauses it,
yep.
And I'm like, oh, no. So then I hit my head on my run. But whether you're on a run or whether you're watching this video, thank you so much for joining our, we're a small nation. We're not the biggest nation, but we are the leaner nation. I'm a leaner. We'll see you soon.
feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.